Please turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, that's page 1194 in the Pew Bibles. Now, there may be those of you who are anxiously looking at your watches or clock in your vicinity. I want to encourage you two ways right now. Number one, this is the Word of God, the bread of life, which is being broken in our presence. We linger long at tables filled with our favorite foods. Do we have the same regard for the Word of God? But second, a word of compassion. Brevity tonight. You can hold me to it. We may have a different definition of that word, but with that, please give attention to the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 15 through 21. This is the Word of God. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's Word, may He bless our meditation upon it this evening. You have received a precious gift this evening, dear people of God. I suspect that you have not yet internalized it in that way yet. You haven't thought of it in that way yet. But when these new elders and new deacons were installed, you received from the Lord's hand a precious gift. And not because these men are so amazing, though I love each one of you dearly, and I look forward to serving with you. But because church leaders are a gift from God, this is a love gift from Jesus. And that being so, we want to make sure that, first of all, we don't look a gift horse in the mouth, as we say. But we want to receive this gift with due gratitude, and I believe that verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 13 gives us some clear instruction for how to rightly receive this gift from the hand of our Savior. And so our theme this evening is follow your leaders. And what I'm going to do is something a little bit different than my standard practice, and I'm just going to briefly lay out for you five reasons that you ought to follow your leaders, and five practical ways of taking or onboarding this counsel. So first then, five reasons to follow your leaders. And the first of these reasons is that your church leaders, lawfully elected and installed, are invested with the authority of King Jesus. We live in an anti-authoritarian age. We hate everything that smacks of authority because, after all, we're Americans and we are independent and we do what we want and nobody's going to tell us what to do. And yet the world of the Bible, the world of the Christian faith, knows of no such nonsense. For the world of the Bible opens from the very beginning with an authority structure in place and builds multiple levels of authority from there. We have, first of all, the ordering of the relationship between husband and wife. And then very quickly after that, we have the addition of children and the call of God to children to honor father and mother. But then we find later that government itself, human governments, are instituted by God. And so we are told in Romans chapter 13 that we are to render to these civil authorities obedience, submission. But there is also authority structure within the church. The church is a community which has been invested with leaders who are invested with the authority of King Jesus. And that's what the author to the Hebrews says in verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Now, there are several Greek words for obedience. In fact, the majority of the words used in Greek for obedience are connected with the hearing. That makes sense, right? Hear and then follow what you hear. But the word used twice here in verse 17, obey your leaders, and then again, middle of the verse, obey them, carries with it a somewhat different connotation. In fact, there's a twofold connotation. One of these, the first of these, is trust. You are to trust your leaders. Now, you might say, well, they need to earn my trust. And I say, I think you have it backward, according to the Scriptures. They've been presented before you. These men have been chosen by the leading of the Holy Spirit through the lawfully held election in the other room just a month ago. And you are to trust them, unless they show you they cannot be trusted. You are to trust them. That is a part of the obedience to which the Word of God calls us this evening. But secondly, the second connotation is that of persuasion. That means allow yourself to be persuaded. To put it in a more readily accessible format, be teachable. Be teachable. We do tend to assume that we know a great deal, many of us do anyway, and so it can be very hard to hear teaching from the elders. Not so much teaching in the classroom, right? You're sitting here to listen to the minister of the word, you go to the adult Sunday school and you expect to be taught there, but what about the teaching that comes at the one-to-one level? The teaching that comes by way of an exhortation, by way of an admonition, by way of a word of correction. Are we teachable? Are we persuadable? Do we trust and obey these leaders? Trust your leaders and be teachable by them is a pretty accurate summary of this call to obey your leaders. But he goes on further, just in case there is any doubt as to what he means, to say submit to their authority. And submitting is to yield. It is to place oneself under the authority of another. And that is the apostles' call to us. These men here and all of the men serving have been lawfully elected following a time of prayer and consideration, and thus you are to receive them in faith. Part of the obedience of your faith to Jesus is to receive your leaders in faith as the men whom God has chosen and appointed to this position. And let us just pause to thank God that Jesus rules his church through duly appointed leaders. So your church leaders are invested with the authority of King Jesus, but they, secondly, are appointed for your good. We read in verse 17, they keep watch over you. Now, to many, this seems threatening, especially, I think, in the current climate, the modern age. But it's clear from the context that this is actually an encouragement. That's what it's intended to be. It's an encouragement. Obey them, for they keep watch over you. obey them because they're put there by God for your good. The role of the watchman, right? Ezekiel 3, verse 17, Ezekiel is appointed as a watchman. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel, so hear the word I speak and give them a warning from me. You see, boys and girls, maybe you've read about like ancient history, maybe even medieval history, and how it was that they would have these great big towers at the outside of the city, and there would be men who would stand in those towers night and day, and their only job, the only thing they were responsible to do, was to be continually scanning the horizon for dangers that were approaching, and then to warn the city of the danger that was approaching. Well, the church leaders, particularly the elders, are appointed to a similar position. The role of the elders is to keep a watch on the city wall, to be aware of the danger that is out there, or dare I say, in here, and to warn. And very often, what makes this difficult is it takes the form of a personal intervention. Right? It's okay if you warn me of people with guns outside the walls. I thank you for that. But you think I'm straying? Who do you think you are? But the role of the elders is to keep a watch on your life. And on mine. You caught that from the form, right? As the minister of the word. To warn, to exhort, to admonish, to encourage. One author, Joshua Owen, recently wrote in Table Talk this, referring to interaction between elders and members, he says, quote, these interactions can get heated with warnings, admonitions, corrections, and rebukes coming rapidly, along with heartfelt appeals, godly counsel, and instruction. Because of the urgency behind the communication, it would be easy for church members to take offense. So they are reminded that their leaders have their soul's best interests at heart. That does get lost in these interactions, because nobody, let's be honest, none of us likes to be called to repentance. None of us likes to be told that we are wrong. And yet it is God's gift to you and to I to give elders as watchmen. What a love gift from the hand of our Savior. It is not loving to allow people to wander into danger and to destruction, particularly spiritual destruction. And so notice then that Jesus shepherds us through the ministry of his appointed leaders. But third, your leaders give account of you to God. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Now, I'm going to just plug membership right now. Sorry, shameless about this. Some of you would say the scriptures don't teach church membership. Clearly, this passage teaches church membership. You cannot keep watch over a flock that is not defined. You have to know who belongs and who does not. Who is in and who is out. This would be one of the many texts that we would go to in order to demonstrate that church membership of some sort is a clearly biblical notion. Because the elders, this is the weight of the responsibility that is upon these brothers and the other elders and myself, 320-ish souls. That's a weight. That is a great and heavy weight. And it's a weight that we, by God's grace, take seriously. And we keep in mind that we are to give an account. And brothers, I simply remind you of that fact tonight. We give account, first of all, in prayer. We are to be daily giving account for the souls over which we have been given watch in prayer. But then secondly, we will give an ultimate account in the day of judgment. And this is actually meant as a warning to the congregation. Because the question is, what is the account that I will give as a church leader as I go into before the throne of grace? Is it an account of the obedience of your faith and that you are delighting in the Lord and you're delighting in His Word and you are being shaped like Christ? Or is it that you are fractious and that you are difficult and that you do not care for the Word of God? You see, that is the account that's being described. It may seem justified in our minds when we are rebuked to resist that. And it may seem no real harm, because after all, these are just a bunch of guys who don't really know much. But they're giving an account to King Jesus for your soul. What kind of an account will the elders be giving for your soul? Because when you reject the authority of your leaders, you're rejecting the authority of God. Almost always, those who resist the authority of the elders are certain that they are right to do so. But be very careful. Because one of the most basic facts about sin is that it's deceptive. Don't doubt that heretics and apostates engage in the same kind of behavior every day. What is the difference? That's a question we have to grapple with when we're inclined to push against the elders' authority. But fourth, a reason to follow your leaders is so that you may not be burdensome to them, right? He says, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. The work of an elder under good circumstances is difficult. The work of an elder under bad circumstances is heartbreaking. It's brutal. It's like being raked across the coals. It's like being laid on a bed of nails. It is hard, painful, heartbreaking work. Are you a heartbreaker? I trust that you're not. But you see, if you're burdensome, that actually says something about the state of your heart. And it's actually of no advantage to you. Because in the very act of being burdensome, you're moving away from Christ. That's the point that the apostle has in mind here. You can be burdensome to your leaders, and that's of no advantage to you because they're working for your good. They're working for your eternal good. They desire only your best interest, granting that we are all weak and fallible men. Pray for us. But fifth, follow your leaders, because you can make your leader's work a joyous work. There is no joy like seeing the people of God growing in the grace and the knowledge of Lord Jesus. There is no joy like seeing the people of God faithfully using their gifts. There is no joy. You want to know what makes me joyful? When I see your beautiful faces in these pews Sunday morning and evening. Oh, it fills me with joy. Not one exposure to the Word of God, but two exposures to the Word of God. What a precious, precious joy that is. When you're here, and when you're engaged, and when you're serving, and when you're fellowshipping, when you do that, you make your leader's work a joyous work. When you give generously, you make the deacon's work a joyous work. And by the way, I would note that you do that. You make the deacon's work a joyous work. Praise God for that. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You ought to follow your leaders because you can make your leaders' work a joyous work. Your obedience is a joy to your leaders, and it is of great advantage to you. Because it is through obedience to them, in their faithful service, you are being shaped into the image of Christ. And you're being prepared for the new heavens and the new earth. So then, five brief ideas about how you can be a make your leader's service a joy. First, pray for your leaders. Pray for us. We desperately need your daily prayers for wisdom, courage, and strength. If you want leaders who are filled with and led by the Holy Spirit, you are going to have to pray for that. That's not something that just kind of mysteriously happens. But if you pray for it, the Lord will grant that. Second of all, encourage your leaders. This is a hard and often thankless job. I'm not referring to my job, by the way. I'm referring to particularly the elders. But let your leaders know that you appreciate their labors in the Lord. And I have a really hot idea for you tonight. When was the last time that you called your district elder or deacon to say, "How are you?" You only have two men assigned to your district. Each of those two men has between 20 and 30 households assigned to their district. Do the math. Who's encouraging the elders and the deacons? Pick up the phone, give a call, send a text, let them know where they're doing well. You will make their work a joy as you do that. Thirdly, honor your leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work." You know what is a blessing to your church leaders' hearts? Is when they know that you, dear people of God, love them. Not that you tolerate them, but that you love them. What you can be such a blessing as you honor them for their work's sake. Take that time and reframe the situation and honor your leaders. A fourth, I hope your ears are really perked up for this one. Assume the best about your leaders. There is so much that is discussed behind closed doors in church meetings that cannot and should not be shared publicly. But this places the elders and sometimes the deacons in an unfavorable position. And it leaves them open to often harsh and somewhat often wrong criticism. Assume this man, these men, are filled with the Holy Spirit. They've been elected by the Spirit to serve in this regard. They have been gifted for this service. And they are doing their level best to conduct that service faithfully. A practical way that this takes shape is when you question a decision, and it's normal and it's okay to question a decision, but do that carefully. Actually, ask the question instead of making the accusation. And then if they tell you there are things that I cannot share with you, I'm not at liberty to say, respect that and respect them for that. Assume the best about your leaders be charitable to them. Because when you do that, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to make their work a joy. Number two, Christ is going to be glorified. And you want to know something. Actually doing these things is simply a manifestation of trust in Christ himself. When you assume the best about your leaders, you are manifesting faith in Christ. And then fifth and finally, this one's not hard. Well, this one's simple, but it's hard. Obey your leaders in the Lord. Don't ask me where I got that. Obey them. If they tell you something, unless you have very, very good reason for disregarding what they say, just do it. Trust their judgment. There is a plurality of men in the room, by the way, right? That's why there's so many at the table. So that you work through things. There's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. But we're always invoking the great counselor, the Holy Spirit, to lead us in the way of truth. Dear brothers and sisters, you have received a precious, precious gift from God tonight. You have received a precious gift from God in these men which God continues to raise up in this church to govern this body. Do you esteem them as such? Because if you do, you will make their work a joy, and it will be of great advantage to you now and eternally. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would work obedience to your word in our hearts. We acknowledge that so often your word cuts against our natural inclinations. That's certainly true of the passage we've been considering. We confess that it's true, Lord, that we are so often unruly and so often bent on having our own way. And we pray, Lord, that you would make us a truly humble people, that we would be teachable, that we would be leadable, and that you would be glorified in the service of the leaders whom you've appointed and in our submission to them. We ask, Lord, that when the world, that you may do this, that the world may see the glory of Christ manifest in his church. For we ask it all in his name. Amen.